How's everybody?
Great.
Awesome. You guys heard that Eddie Money song, right? I got Jesus tickets to paradise. It ain't no gag he could come tonight, right? I got two. Oh, sorry. You guys don't like that one? I thought you'd like that one. Thank you, Mikey. All righty. Well, I just thought you'd like that. Is Ed here tonight? I can't see if Ed's back there. I was joking with Ed about it the other day. He said, "Oh no, you're gonna change the words out." I said, "Yeah, I could." So, anyway, glad you're all here tonight. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy, if you would. Well, we just had another election season. I know you're all excited about the way the results came out, right? You know, the recreation center got dunked 2-1. You know, I'm sure everybody that you voted for won, they're going to be in place, right? No? No? You guys even know what I'm... Did any of you even vote in the city, municipal? Okay, yeah, I see some hands going. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you know, so, you know, we always vote, we always get what we want, right? That may not necessarily be true. The scripture might communicate the principle we get the government we deserve, but don't always get what we want. Like I said, it never fails. I get up here to do some preaching and somebody starts crying. So, you know, it's all over but the crying. Alrighty. Anyway, so I'm just on the idea of elections and stuff, you know, I've been thinking about that, you know, because there was an election on a municipal level here for us where we voted for council person, you know. There was the issue on the recreational building and stuff, you know, the multi-purpose recreational building they wanted to build. And then you had a municipal court judge, which I never did hear who won that between the two. Did anybody, there was a gal and a guy, did anybody hear who won that one? All right, we're really involved. All right. You know, so I voted. Okay, I voted. I know who I voted for. Okay, by the way, one of my people didn't make it in, so just so you know that. So anyway, you know, we're not going to get what we want. And what am I getting at? You know, I want tonight's a message about resources. Resources. You know, so resources that we have as Christians. So, you know, Jared is known for this statement. At least I'm going to credit Jared with that. I've heard him first say it. I'm assuming that it came from him. So whether it came from him or he got it, it doesn't matter. In my mind, it's Jared's statement. And one of the things that Jared reminds us of that's a great resource that we don't take advantage of enough is prayer. Prayer. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer tonight out of 1 Timothy. And it's going to have to do with kings and those who are in authority, all right? So it's going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 2. But where this came from is, you know, I read through my Bible. I told you guys I have ways that I read through my Bible twice a year. On average, I'll read through my entire Bible. Then during that, I might split off, and then at another time during the day or whatever, I might go through the New Testament, you know, try and read through the New Testament in 30 or 40 days, whatever. And then I try and get into a pattern where I'm repeating that. And then what that helps me to do is, you know, I may not have things memorized, but the recall becomes better. Okay, so I understand the concepts and the principles that are there. But I was reading through it somewhat recently, and, you know, and this statement comes across. First of all, and that's where we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, first of all, then I urge, or Paul says, first of all, then I urge, excuse me, folks, that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this is kind of what I want to look at tonight, these verses. And you'll notice that really the purpose is stated there in verse 4. what is opened with there in verse 1 of chapter 2. Remember, when these letters were written by the Apostle Paul as he was moved by the Holy Spirit to pen these were not in verse chapter breakdowns. This all came, you know, a couple of French guys predominantly were the ones that did this, you know, long time ago, okay? Otherwise, they were just a constant letter, so you would have to read and understand context as you got to things. But for our sake, it's beneficial because it gives us kind of a little break here. So first of all, this is kind of an idea that's being communicated here that separates from the previous context that we see now as chapter 1. And that's about this issue of prayer, okay, and it just plops right here. First of all, so when you looked at that phraseology up in the New Testament, if you have a concordance or electronic one in your Bibles on your phones, whatever, first of all, that language shows up 5 times in the New Testament. Once in Romans 3, here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, once in Hebrews 7, and then twice in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I believe it's chapter 3. If I remember right, I might have that wrong. It's going off the top of my head. So I thought, I think I'll do messages on first of all. So, you know me, I dive in. You guys know me. I like diving into the language, the Greek language or the Hebrew, whatever. And I'm diving into the Greek, looking at this, and I'm saying, as I look at the one in Romans and the passage in Hebrews, and I go into the 2 Peter passages, I'm like, okay, wow. Looking at the Greek, the only passage is the one in 1 Timothy 2 that actually has in the Greek everything here that we see where it says first of all. It actually has the form of protos, okay, where we get, you can think of whatever prototype, you know, first of its type, okay. That's where we get the word proto from that shows up in our language out of the Greek, all right. But it's the only one that has protos and then has the word for all, and all is communicated 3 different ways in the Greek. Pas, pon, pasa. So if you can't remember all you got to do is remember a little Espanol. Que pasa? You know, what? Hey, y'all. Or what's up? You know, what's going on? All right. But anyway, those are the words. So I look it up, and it's interesting. This is the only passage where it actually is stated in the Greek, first of all. Actually there. The other passages, it's implied. It just used the word protos. Okay, protos. Some, you know, I'm using our English way we would say that. Okay. The others just use protos, and in context, they're saying, well, this is kind of like first of other things. So they just use the terminology first of all. So if you look that up in your Bibles, okay, in a concordance, you know, you'll find that if you dive a little bit deeper. So when I was diving into it, well, since this one says actually first of all, probably I should start here. All right? It's interesting that language is used. And notice what it's about. Prayer. Petitions. Supplications, entreaties, okay? So when Jared makes a statement, prayer is our first resource and not our last resort, it is a scriptural statement that he makes right out of 1 Timothy. This is one evangelist, apostle of Jesus Christ. The apostle Paul referred to himself as an evangelist as well, doing the work of an evangelist, okay? Teaching another young evangelist, Timothy and Titus being his two. This is important. Here's what I want you to understand. And this is what needs to be communicated, Timothy. So anybody that's going to stand up in front of a group of people as an evangelist should have a pretty good grasp and a pretty good understanding of the importance of prayer. So in our assembly, right, we talk a lot about prayer, make reference to prayer, and oftentimes when we talk amongst ourselves to one another, what's the one thing we all consistently say? If there's one area in my life as a Christian that I struggle probably more than I should, it's prayer. I know all of you virtually that I've had conversation with at some point have made that statement to me. So I'm always thankful when Jerry gets up here and throws out, it's been a little while since we heard that, hasn't it, Jerry? By the way, have you ever done a message on this passage, Jerry? Okay. Well, I would remember it if you did. I'm telling you, I really would have. But anyway, so it's important, brethren. And it's going to help us to deal with our everyday life. This is an everyday application here. Look at this, where it falls. I urge it, entreaties, prayers, petitions, all those, brethren, those words are kind of synonyms. of one another. Prayer is prosuke in the Greek. That means you're towards somebody. You're making a request towards somebody. Entreaties, you know, I'll get into these individually, but you'll see that this word entreaty shows up about 16 times in the New Testament. In the Greek, this word. But it's translated three or four different ways. Prayers, supplications, entreaties. Predominantly prayers. So you go, okay, so you look that up, your concordance, you go, well, how come it says here entreaties and then it has prayers following it when it says it's basically a synonym for prayer? So what's Paul saying? First, I urge you that prayers and prayers and then prayers, you know, petitions. Isn't a petition a prayer? Well, yes, of course. But what we're getting from the Apostle Paul here, again, as he's moved by the Holy Spirit, what he's communicating here is a picture to us of the value of what we have before us. And you guys know I've been on a value and an appraisal kick for quite a few years trying to drive these types of ideas and concepts home to you so that you will understand what's before you, what's been given to you, what we've been blessed with, who you are in Christ. All right? Know Jesus. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know your purpose. The church has a purpose, and right down there in verse 4 he says, God desires what? All men to be saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, he's saying that to Timothy directly, but it applies to the church as a whole. How do we know that? See, brethren, you got to understand that out there in the religious marketplace, even within the what was commonly or we'll say loosely referred to as the Restoration Movement, the guys who went back to just the Bible alone, got rid of all those creeds, follow what the Bible said, some of the stuff that Dave made mention in his Lord's Supper, went with what the Bible said about the plan of salvation, not something that mankind has decided as a means by which to be saved. You know, and Dave said, that, you know, ask Jesus into your heart. We've all had those conversations either when somebody was studying with us before we were in Christ or we're studying with somebody else outside of Christ. Okay, so if you say that all I got to do is ask Jesus into your heart and I'm saved, would you please show me that passage in the New Testament? I can't find it. It's not there, right? So we go down that road. And so some of these things we need to I'm kind of going to veer all over the place tonight, all right? But so kind of coming back to our start, this idea of prayer, entreaties, this picture that's painted for us to understand who we are, what we have, how blessed we are as a people, this needs to be understood because what conditions we live in today are really no different than what Paul and Timothy lived in their day. What was the majority of the government that these guys lived under and operated under? Pagan, particularly, at one point it became very anti-Christ, anti-Christian. Where are we at today? In America in particular, you and I, we know we can look at the situation surrounding us and we can look out there into the cultural abyss, so to speak, look out there and we can see that it's okay to really promote anything except Christianity. They tread lightly on the Islamics, the Mohammedans, however you want to call it, all right? They tread lightly on the Sikhs, the Hindus, right? But when it comes to Christians, boy, they're right in your face. Pretty consistently. So, pretty pagan. America is, you know, God bless America, right? Well, how about, I would urge entreaties, prayers, and petitions, and thanksgivings. You know? So, all right. Let's talk about these words. Again, I've got so many things running through my head, I'll go all over the place tonight and leave you guys going, okay, that was interesting, but I'm not sure I got what he was getting at. Okay? Let's talk about entreaties. The Greek word, deesis, if you want to know what it is. It comes from a word, deamai, and it means to beg is binding oneself. So you got a picture of your begging. Not in a bad way. This is where you're binding yourself to something or someone or a request to something. You're bound to it. Remember Jesus said, ask. In the Greek, that verb is continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock. That's what he's saying there. Ask, seek, knock. It's not a one, it's a over and over and over. Okay? This is the same thing in this. Over and over and over. So it's to beg, you're binding yourself, you're making a request or a petition. Normally it's a request or a need that's brought before someone in authority, a king or someone in authority. Isn't it interesting here that he's saying, pray for these kings and those in authority? Because you're going above their authority, right? To the one who holds the ultimate authority, as you're making this beseeching, is another way that you'll see this word translated in its verb form in the New Testament in the Greek. All right? So you're beseeching someone in authority. Who are we going to? Who is Timothy being reminded? You'd think he's an evangelist. It'd be a no-brainer for Timothy, right? Well, Timothy's involved in all the day-to-day, just like you and I dealing with all the issues that are out there. Sometimes he might be, well, I got, and Paul saying, okay, Timothy, step back. Here's what I urge you, and I urge you to teach the brethren to do. Okay? So just step back. Remember the one who really has authority to deliver, if he so chooses, and that's Christ. So it's like, you know, too often, what do we want to do? We want to go to our, I'm going to write to my congressman. I'm going to tell him what a, you know, you got it all ready to go. I'm like, that's fine if you want to do it, but how long did it take you to write that vitriolic little note you wanted to get to your congressman? Let him know how you, why not just stop? How about an entreaty to God? How about a prayer? How about a petition? Okay. Prayers, we all know, that just means you're making a request, a wish, literally, a wish known is where that word in the Greek comes from, all right? So, and this is the one that we see all over in the New Testament, prosuke, forms of that. That's just prayer. Now, here's the difference between deasis, that's the way that first word would be said, and then prosuke. Deasis, in the common use of the Greek, when you go back and study that culture, the asus was always kind of a man-to-man, not necessarily looking to a higher authority in, say, the God realm. It was more on a man-to-man level, all right, person-to-person level. It's in the New Testament that it's used as it's being lifted up, saying, well, now you take it to a higher authority than mankind and go to God. Whereas prosuke, that word, prayers, is always directed to God. Okay? So, and you go back into the cultural use of these words, and like I said, I dive deep into these things because I'm just trying to figure out what is being communicated. I get it. They're synonyms, but what is the picture? All right? So, we got, you know, entreaties and prayers, all right? Prayers is used like 40 sometimes, entreaties, I think is like 16 to 20. Petitions is the next one that's here, right? In verse 1 of chapter 2. So what's a petition? Entuxis would be the closest we would say that word in the English. Entuxis, all right? And it's only used twice. It's used both times in the letters of Timothy, okay? Just twice, right? And what this word, this is interesting, what this word actually means is it's a coming together. It's a meeting. You know, how many times we heard that? We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting, right? Wonder where they got that from. I keep telling you, man, everything in the world that's an idiom that's out there has been stolen from the Bible. We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. That's exactly what this word means. It's a conference. All right, we're going to have a conference call. Make sure you're on it. See the picture I'm painting? We're going to get together, we're going to chat, we're going to talk, we're going to work through this. That's the picture that's being painted here in the Greek, as they would understand it, as Timothy would understand it, as Paul would want it to be understood by the churches that are reading this as the letters are circulating, all right, in the Greek. That's what it means, a coming together. So you're making specific requests for others, but you have to come together, and it's the idea that you come together with a goal of hitting a mark. I find that just interesting. And a lot of this you can find out just by studying the way it's used in the Greek language, the Koine Greek, which again is a dead language, meaning it's no longer spoken as a whole among Greek people. They speak classic Greek today. So the Koine Greek, because it's no longer spoken, they can go back and really focus in and figure out all the ways these words are used in the Greek and get a really good understanding of what it would mean. That's why I know God used Greek. Language is the language he was going to get the letters out throughout the beginning of the church and into our day even, because the Greek is so effective, Koine Greek, is so effective at communicating these little subtleties. But what that is designed to do is not to get you lost in the details, brothers and sisters. It's to give you the picture. What is this? Why does he say, first of all? And he literally means here, first of all things, Timothy, I urge you. Isn't that interesting? Prayer. How about a little communication between you and God? Teach the brethren, communication between them and God. Key thing, right? Be made on behalf of all men, right? It doesn't say all brothers and sisters, all men. And my favorite part, for kings and all who are in authority. Oh, great. You guys know, you know, pretty much where I am politically. I've told you over and over again that I'm a constitutionalist, okay? So that automatically in today's culture makes me a white nationalist, racist, homophobe. I mean, we can go, right? But I'm just a constitutionalist. When it's just practiced as it was written, there is no kind of favoritism to anybody, is there? I mean, it is the most equal system you can get in governance. That's what I am. So I see the Democan Party and the Republicrats as just two wings of the same vulture picking our carcasses clean. Now, that doesn't make me a lot of friends or win me a lot of influence with people, because you got a lot of people that are very strong attachment to the political parties in our country. All you got to do is look at the divide that exists in our country today, right? You know, if you're one of these, you cannot have anything to do with one of those. Right? I think the only way we're going to be united is if we come back to the Constitution. That's my personal perspective. So I'm not a big fan of either one of them. I told you before, I have not voted in a major election for president. That's the only thing. For a presidential candidate from either major party since 1992. That's actually when my eyes started to get opened that this thing is this is nothing but a, well, I think it was George Wallace, probably not the best personal example, but he said there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two political parties. And I think he was being generous. I'd give him maybe 2 cents. But I just don't see it. They're just degrees of how we're going to advance the agenda. One really wants to put the pedal to the metal. The other is kind of acting like they're holding, but they really are pushing it too. Right? This is not a political speech. I'm just saying this is where I'm at. Okay, so you can imagine it. Kevin just really looks forward to in the morning after he gets done hitting his Bible reading that he's going to pray for President Biden and Senator Daines and Governor Gianforte and Congressman Rosendale. Right? I just can't wait. Yeah, I can. That's the problem. I put everything else in front of those guys. And then I come back and I'm reading through my Bible. And I'm like, well, there it is again. Doggone. It still is there in the Bible. It hasn't moved. Still in the same place, same book, same chapter, same verses. What's going on here? Kevin. Oh, yeah. Got it, Lord. I need to pray for kings and all who are in authority. That authority just means people that are in stations above you. It's literally what that word means. We've placed them in stations above us. Okay, why? Why? So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life. That's why. Now, I've told you that we can see that the powers that be are doing what they can to bring, you know, the vices tightening on things that are Christian values. Let's use that terminology just generally. It's tightening. You know, cancel culture started out about the time that the pandemic broke forth. You also see what I think of that too. Okay? That broke forth, right? And then all of a sudden you couldn't. Doctors that were using things that were working couldn't talk about it. That was shut down. All we had to do is, we are at warp speed. We're gonna get us a vaccine. And then of course we all know how that went, right? So What's happened since then? Cancel culture. You speak against certain things, boom, shut you down. Speak against this, boom, they shut you down. People are losing their livelihoods standing for what were normative cultural values 3-4 years ago, brethren. Lost their livelihoods. Businesses were firing them because of the pressure they were getting from the minority that was very loud and vocal. Does the Bible present a picture in the New Testament that there was a loud and vocal minority that was doing all they could to shut down the church? Oh, yeah. Just read the book of Acts, read some of the letters. Of course. So what are we going to do? What's the remedy? Oh, I'm going to write off a letter. No. I would do just what Paul said. I would urge you, try the avenue of entreaties. Beseech, beg, attach yourself to this issue that you're concerned about. Your freedom to speak to people about Christ, about the gospel, right? Attach yourself to that. Throw your wishes, your desires towards God, your prayers up to the throne of grace. And make your petitions, right? Your conferences. Time for a conference call. Lord, I'm coming. I'm praying today. I got to tell you, this is on my heart, this is on my mind. I am worried that your name, Lord, is being blasphemed. Your name, Lord. He cares about his name. There's all kinds of that communicated, that principle, that concept, particularly in the Old Testament. I ain't doing this for you. I'm doing it so that my holy name, God says, right? His name. So, all men in authority. God wants us to do it. What is God's other big concern for all men? That would include women, by the way. Well, doesn't Peter address that? 2 Peter, right? What's God's desire? Is that all would come to repentance. See, that's a big deal, isn't it? See, when you tell people, well, you know what? There is a God and he's stipulated through his word that these are the things that are abhorrent to him. And if you're engaged in fornication, if you're engaged in greed, if you're engaged in idolatry, if you're engaged, you know, and I mean, that would be the worship of, say, a political person. All right, if you're engaged, that one kind of hit close to home for some of us, didn't it? Ooh. You know. Man, you know, Donald Trump ran for president, man. Okay, and some of you guys know how I feel about Donald Trump, okay? And I'm not faulting those of you that support Donald Trump. I'm just saying, I don't remember anybody having a cult of personality like him. Even, I was around when Ronald Reagan, well, Nancy said, you know. He was a tremendous communicator, brethren. If you don't, just go back and watch his speeches. He could tell a joke like nobody else. All clean, great jokes. And people loved him, even his opponents. He put his opponent down in a debate once where the age issue came up. Is the age issue critical nowadays amongst our presidential candidates? Yeah. Yeah, it's big. It's big. All right. Well, he's running against Mondale, who's considerably younger than him, and he says, now I know age has come up in this race, and I just want everybody to know I'm not going to hold my opponent's relative youth and inexperience against him. And the whole place roared. And you look at his opponent, Mondale, and Mondale's guffawing, laughing so hard he's red in the face. You think I might look the video up? Right? That guy was funny. I could listen to him. I didn't agree with everything he did, but you couldn't help but like the guy. You really couldn't. Right? I don't feel that way about Trump, and I think a whole lot of people don't feel that way about Trump. Okay? Now, again, I don't mean this to be, brethren, I don't mean this to be political, but we're talking about kings and those who are in authority, and I'm trying to get you to understand prayer for those guys. So I'm talking to me as well as I'm talking to you about our perspectives of political people, governmental authorities. How do we deal with this? How do we get through what's going on here today in our society? How important is this? Very important. Very important. Because God says, these things that are happening, I've got the remedy, church. The remedy is me. He says, talk to me. Don't write off that email to somebody that you just want to make sure you score points. I just get a kick out of the the Billings Pravda. I mean, the Billings Gazette. What are they calling it? Billings Gesset? Is that right? None of you guys are liking my humor tonight. Am I hitting too close to home for too many of you? No, look, I mean, I love reading some of their opinion. I just chuckle. I'm like, wow. You know, it just, have you ever, you know, they just shade the truth ever so slightly. Everybody that presents their case, they never talk about everything. They just, it's just interesting to me. The thing that's most damaging is what's left out, not what's said. I just find that interesting. Okay, so going back to Kevin, getting off his political soapbox, So he says, if we do these things and we desire to live a tranquil and quiet life, here's what I get out of this. Look, if you pray about these things in the face of this government, you know, that's overarching all of our activities that can be negative, can be oppressive, persecuted, right? Kind of persecute you and stuff. What's the answer? Prayer to God. And he says, you know what? If you pray to him, so that we may lead. Okay. I urge entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Here's the question. Why? Why? Here's the answer. So that we may lead. Oh, you mean my prayer is tied to the opportunity to maybe lead a tranquil, which just means, you know, inner peace, quiet. That means basically not leaving your seat. That's what that word really means in Greek. Quiet, staying in your seat. Really? It goes on later on in this chapter, I think it is, it tells, you know, the ladies to receive instruction quietly. That also means undisturbed. Don't let this disturb you. That makes sense, doesn't it? I want to live a quiet, tranquil life, an undisturbed life. This all has to do with putting our petitions, our prayers in the right spot, understanding he's the one that's going to make that available to us. Do we believe he can make it happen? I do. I do. So he says, this is good. It's valuable. It's acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Awesome. Love it. All right. He says, why? Because he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we have a process here. Pray. Why? So you can lead a quiet and tranquil life. Why? So that we can execute our purpose, which is what? The opportunity for all men, that includes the ladies, that's anthropos in the Greek, that's humankind, right? All to be saved. You know, Jesus, we could go back and look at several prayers that he had, all right? But Jesus prayed, you know, that people would understand the situation that was before him, pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth workers, right? Jesus didn't meet up against any opposition, did he? Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. All right, so the other thing is we have to make sure, you know, Dave mentioned, you know, you can't ask Jesus into your heart, no, not scripturally. Now, prayer is available, and it's one of the greatest blessings that is given to the Christian. We know the Bible teaches in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, right? It says, the Lord's arm is not so short, his ear so dull that he cannot save, but your iniquities, your sins, have made a separation between you and your God. Remember Nolan's message this morning? Death, separation, first Adam, last Adam, right? He made that death, separation. That's all that word means. So you're separated from God. When you have sinned and you are separated from God, he cannot hear you. How can you offer up a prayer and that saves you? See, this is what you have to work with people. Say, now let's just rationally, logically think this through. How can you offer up a prayer to save you when he doesn't hear you? Now this is where you usually get people get really mad at you when you have a conversation with them. You know, and they get mad and they stomp off, say something. All right, or they go, what? I never saw that before. Can you show me that again? And then you can take them to John 9, where the guy that got healed by Jesus, right? And they said to him, hey, this guy that healed you, he's a bad dude. Blaspheming God, doing all that, talking about Jesus. The guy that gets healed goes, well, here's a funny thing. We know that God does not hear sinners. But this guy healed me by praying. Oh, you'd think it'd stop the you know, the Pharisees in there, no. See, when people have an agenda, it doesn't matter what the scripture says, and that was kind of what Dave was trying to say. They just plow right by it, see? So, again, this is important that we understand that we have one of the greatest, greatest blessings in the entire world, and we have access to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need, according to the book of Hebrews. That's what it says. So again, appraisal, value, all these things about being a Christian, all these things that we have available to us, do we value them properly? Do we appraise them properly? Do we understand the scripture is encouraging us to do certain things and saying, trust me, God said, trust me, have faith in me, this will work. So this is the toughest thing for me, is to pray for those who are in authority, because they are in such rebellion against God. And there's just a natural tendency to me to say, but Lord, they're just... He said, I got it. I just want you, and I, you know, through Paul, moved by the Holy Spirit of God, right? Right? Know this first of all, that no prophecy is a matter of one's own interpretation. Oh, there goes, well, that's just your interpretation. There goes that excuse out the window, doesn't it? We have to let the Bible define things, don't we? But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke by God. This is God speaking through Paul to us and to Timothy, isn't it? Some people say, man, I wish the Holy Spirit would speak to me. Well, which book do you want to start with? That should be your answer. Man, I wish the Holy Spirit would speak to me. Okay. Well, which book? I kind of like Ephesians and Hebrews. What do you say God speaks to you through the letter to the Ephesians? Fair enough? We don't need nobody on our pillow at night whispering sweet nothings in our ear. And that's what it is if you're hearing that. It's sweet nothings. It ain't from the Lord. Okay? It's right here. Jesus said, you have one which will judge you. My words that I have spoken. And these words that we have that are recorded for us by the New Testament apostles and prophets are the words of Jesus Christ spoke through the Holy Spirit. So, all we need is it good enough? Is it challenging at times? Well, here we go. Let's pick on the ladies for just a moment. Okay, make sure the pathway's clear out the door, Brad, okay? I'm going to have to run fast, all right? So, in this age of feminism, and it is heavily inculcated into our culture, amen? I heard the guys. I'm going to try that one more time. I'm going to start looking at the ladies, see if their lips even move. Right? Feminism's everywhere. They want to make our little boys, little girls. Toxic masculinity. You think that's really a kind statement towards the men? When have you heard toxic femininity? Lately. Ladies, you're all looking down. Look up. Where have you heard it? I have not heard it anywhere. Why is toxic masculinity okay, but toxic femininity isn't okay? Is that fair? Here's Paul, who the Holy Spirit is speaking through, and I agree with him. I agree with them. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. I'm not your judge. This is something you've got to work through, ladies. But it says this, not with braided hair alone, more or less, and gold or... You don't want just the appearances and what matters, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. The same godliness that's up there in our list in verse 2. Respectable, honorable. We should revere women like this, right? A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. Ooh. I'd get thrown out of a lot of places just for reading that. I'd say, I just... How about the next verse? Here's a really good verse. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Now, it depends on how you read that. I could make it more palatable. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. That sounds better, doesn't it? It doesn't change what it says. Is it hard for the ladies to remain quiet in today's society and the assemblies? Yes. Yes. Does God say we should have them remain quiet in the assemblies and not exercise authority? This is only in the assemblies it's talking about. Not out there in the world, brethren. It's talking about in the assembly, the Lord's church. I do not allow one to... Okay, that's what I'm saying. See, here's the tough stuff. So I'm going to do the first of alls, but I'm going to come back, and I think I'm going to go back through Timothy, through some of this stuff that's really kind of rubs everybody the wrong way. We need to go over it, don't we? Are you guys all tired? Tired of me? Sick? And, yep, everybody finished it for me. Look, what I'm trying to do is, there are things that rub us all the wrong way. This prayer for kings and those in authority, that rubs me the wrong way. I'm just being honest with you. I wish I had never read that. Because then I could hold my attitude towards those people, couldn't I? And I could righteously claim my indignation. Lord, they're blaspheming against you. So I'm righteously indignant. And when they throw me in jail, what are you in for? Righteous indignation. That's what I'm in for. They claim second degree. See, that rubs me wrong, brethren. Rubs me wrong. And I've said some things that I know rubbed many of you wrong. I picked on political parties. I know it rubbed some of you wrong. I did it on purpose. Not to hurt you, just what's valuable, important to us is what I'm driving at tonight. Prayer, our perspective on it, who can get the job done, and why. See, we lose focus on our purpose if we don't read verse 4 there in chapter 2. God desires all men to be saved. That's why we go against what rubs us the wrong way. And we flip it around scripturally, look at God's word and say, got it, Lord, I'll do it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Great God, we are thankful for your word that you have preserved. One of the greatest miracles, I'm convinced, been performed in the history of the world. Because there are many enemies of your word that have come against it, want to just absolutely destroy it, remove it, taint it, do whatever they can to remove the authority of it as a whole. And we see that in our culture coming fast. But you preserved it, Lord, and they've not been able to remove it. There may be a day when they'll try to burn the books, shut off the internet, do whatever to try to stop this. But if we are reading our word, reading your word, Lord, and we are ingesting it, implanting it daily, it will be able to save not only our souls, but those that we have the opportunity to speak with. So thank you for preserving the word that we can flee to and trust our souls to it and carry that out as a message to others who are interested in truth, that they may be turned from the darkness to the light into the kingdom of your beloved Son. It is to you, Lord Jesus, the one, the name that has been extolled and exalted high above all our names. It is to you, Lord Jesus, that we lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving as we offer up our entreaties, our prayers, and our petitions to you, Lord, so that we will have the opportunity to have a quiet and dignified life where we can go forth with a message and your name will be proclaimed. And we ask this so that you will receive the glory. To you, O Lord Jesus, we praise you. You are the Christ. Amen. Thank you for your guys' attention.